Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. You're looking so good. You're looking happier and healthier and heavier. Welcome to each and every one. I thought this week I could probably, if I meet any of the preacher friends, I can brag. I can say. Our congregation today was much bigger than it was last week. You folks, boy, it looks like everybody had a good time last week. Lord bless you. Have a good time with family and all that stuff. Heard from some of you that was having a good time, and that's great. God is so good. Isn't it wonderful that God blesses like he does, and he's so wonderful to us. Psalms 27, a couple of verses, leads like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me and eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. The host shall encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David had certainly a wonderful view of the future. Let us praise God for his goodness.
For hymn of worship this morning, I'm going to use 281, sing the first and fourth verse, and I'll have the prayer. Let's all stand.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its praise. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh,
it's another Lord's Day. Come into your house to worship, sing songs of praise, and hear thy word proclaimed. Now go with us through the further exercise of the service, and give us for many sins these words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Now for our communion hymn number 268.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? Power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power.
Fire, 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 fire morning and drinking Mark chapter 14. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in you in the kingdom of God." Let us pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you blessed us with to come back into thy house, worship and sing praises of thee. We pray that you be with us through this service of things that we're saying, do be pleased with that sight, and bless this communion that we have hope of life and have everlasting. We pray that you continue to be with us through these and bring some morning's messages. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Thank you for all the gifts we have received. As we bring a portion of these gifts back through our tithes and offerings, we ask that you multiply them for your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A couple of things to share with you. Lisa's not here today, so we can't wish her a happy birthday. You know, and maybe we could send her a card or an email card or something. And they've been here quite faithful here lately. We're so glad of that.
Jeff is sick. He's got that crud that everybody else has got, that cough.
Yeah.
Okay. So she probably stayed home because of that.
Okay. All right. Good to see you folks here, though. And so tonight we'll pick back up in our 4 o'clock Bible study. And for you folks that weren't here and didn't get the lesson, we've got a lesson back there on the question and answer sheet back there. Question for answers. Yeah, back there in the back. You can pick one up and maybe look at it this afternoon. The rest of you got them last week, I'm pretty sure. And then also, next Sunday afternoon, the 3 p.m., the Majesty Messengers is inviting you to a Christmas cantata, which Good News from Home is the title for it, and that will be over at Stamping Ground, Kentucky, at the Christian Church at 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. And then also be mindful, the 16th of this coming month will be our choir is going to present the message, and we're going to have our fellowship meal together, and so that's just a short ways off. So keep that in mind and encourage others to come and be a part of that, if you will, and make your plans to be here and be a part of that. Anything else to announce in that way? All right, as we turn over to our prayer list, we have good news about several that we have that's on our prayer list that is doing better and so forth. We're thankful for that. And so keep praying for them. Keep praying them out. And look around and see who's not here today. As we just got the information on Jeff being sick, we'll add him to our prayer list. And the ones that are absent for various reasons, be in prayer for them, and then pray for each other. And God is so good, and I think that one of the things that helps us to be such a good church family and so forth, and is the fact that you people are concerned about each other and concerned about others around us and so forth, and that is good. And pray for one another. I'm so thankful. You know, I wondered what would happen over the holiday. And we're getting into the holiday season and a lot of things. And so I'm so thankful that our nation didn't experience some big blowout of some kind. I know there were some things that took place that you can't say they're small. I mean, everything that takes place to damage people's lives is a big issue for people. But aren't you glad that we didn't have a great big terroristic type thing or something great big blowing up or something? And maybe the people are just, you know, maybe it was that people were kind of recognizing and maybe trying to be a little more thankful this year than normal. And I hope that this Thanksgiving time, through the people that you dealt with and were around and so forth and across the nation, that people will come more to a better understanding that Thanksgiving is what we need to give to Almighty God for the blessings that He gives to us. And the more thankful we are, the better off that this nation, this people, and a church will be. Okay, and the people that in the care homes, the caregivers, and certainly for the service people that are serving our country on foreign fields, and be certainly in prayer for them. So, so much to be thankful for, and I'm so thankful that God blessed you people and the people that we know and so forth.
I have a friend from work. Some of you know him. His name's Taylor Henley. His dad got shot and killed this week at his workplace, and he for whatever reason we don't know. There is no motive been established at this point, but I'll just ask that please pray for him and his family. I believe it's the Thursday, like right around Thanksgiving. So I would appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. As we come to a prayer time, though, we have a wonderful God that's open to hear our petitions and ready to help us in our needs. Let's cry out to him today.
Our prayer hymn, using hymn number 94, saying the first and fourth verse, and many will have a prayer. Let's all stand. If the world would use withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there.
Join our hearts and spirits together and go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you just now, I wish we could muster up the words to say thank you, dear God. You're so good to us. And you showed that again this last week in a wonderful, wonderful way. We've seen and rejoiced with our people here at the church how you've blessed them, Heavenly Father, and the good time they had this week. You've blessed our nation, Heavenly Father, in a wonderful way, and we continue to look to you for that. And Father God, when we come to you and realize that you gave even your only begotten Son that we might enjoy this life we're living now and have hope of eternal life, what can we say but thank you, dear God. As we think about the people, Heavenly Father, and our needs and our prayer list, we recognize, Heavenly Father, that there's all sorts of needs in people's lives. There's people who are suffering the loss of loved ones. There's people who are suffering of ailments of some kind. There's people facing operations and dear God, just many things in our life. Some people are going through some hardships and some difficult times and facing some decisions, Heavenly Father, that it's not going to be easy for them. We just pray, Heavenly Father, you bless each and every one. And bring all those things together for good for them, we pray. Oh, Lord God, you're the one that does it for us. You've done it before, and we know you continue to do it. And you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we anticipate, Heavenly Father, good things, not only for our church family here, but for those we associate with and those we pray for, Heavenly Father. We know that you will look into their lives and work good things for them. We thank you for that. Forgive us, Almighty God. And cleanse us from any unrighteousness that might be in our lives. Open our hearts and minds, Heavenly Father, to be receive you and to worship you and to honor you. Might all the things we do, what we say and what we sing and what we pray, might they be in accordance to your will, might they be to honor you and to look to you and to trust you. Oh God, if we could just see you more clearly, if we could just follow you, dear God, more closely. If we could just love you more dearly, dear God, help us to do that. You love us so much, and we want to love you, and we want to honor you. We want to praise you, Heavenly God. And so we just thank you now for the good things you send our way in Jesus' name. Amen.
The invitation hymn to him are 347, and this time the choir brings.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Very beautiful. Love that hymn. Love it. Great message. Finish up today with another message on Thanksgiving. And next week we will start on the road to Bethlehem and end up next month, at the end of the month, celebrating the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. I put there and give to Donna the same verses that I've used already because I think they speak so well, and I couldn't find a better verse that fit my message as far as that goes. And maybe I should have changed the title of my message, but I really do think that a good thanksgiving to God empowers the heart, brings power, makes us stronger. And when I say the heart, and the scripture talks about the heart being the inner being of us, our whole being, and the more thankful we are, the more powerful it seems that our lives can be and such. But anyhow, here this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, and reads like this. And says, rejoice evermore. And of course, this is when the Apostle Paul talks about this, he's recognized how good God has been to him and so forth. And he said to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. And so that's the best way to give thanks to God. Oh, we can give thanks to God in many other ways, in what we do and the way we live and so forth. But one good thing is just go talk to God, you know. And the scripture uses that as prayer. And when you pray, that's what you're doing. You're just talking to God. And he says, just rejoice in the fact that you can come to God and pray without ceasing. That is, always make known. We've talked about that several times, how you can continually be in prayer, and also you can continually be in thanksgiving. I mean, I've said before, not boastfully, but I mean, I find myself turning around many times through the day and just saying, thank you, Lord. I go do this, and I do this, and I do this, and when I do this, and this, and this, when I'm doing it, I just say, thank you, Lord. And you know, I'm thankful that, and I don't say this, you know, to be boast, but I mean, I say this because of the truality of it. Because I'm thankful that I have come to realize that as I go through my life being thankful, that God blesses me in greater ways. And so I don't know how many times a day, and I hope, I'm sure that you do too, that you can just say, thank you, God. And I mean, I move something here, I move a piece of equipment, and I get there, I say, thank you, Lord. I get back into the lot, and I say, thank you, Lord. I get my work done during that day, and as I'm working, I mean, I come up to a little hard, different situation and get against a big old elm tree, and I get that out and say, thank you, Lord. Just whatever it might be, you know, I just have constantly have that on my mind and my thought, because I realize I could do nothing out here if it wasn't for God. And I could not be here this morning. I'm so thankful that I can be here and be part of this great church family here at Porter, but I could not be here if it was not for God. And I already thank God, and I thank God now for being here and being a part of it. So the more thankful we can. Giving thanks is the very thing that accomplishes God's will in our lives. And so that's what he says here. Rejoice and reward praise without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so what he's saying, you know, we just recognize the goodness of God in our lives and so forth and be thankful. And he said, God's will is for you to be rejoicing in the good things that he has given to us and so forth, and be thankful for them. And so as we thank God for what he's doing in our lives, it drastically increases our faith. You know, that's one of the reasons I like to keep myself in a thankful mode day in, day out, is the fact that I know, you know, that God is doing that, and I recognize that God is helping me, and so forth, and that increases my faith. Our faith gets stronger and stronger as we recognize and see God work. If people never see God working in life, they don't have much faith. But as I see God working in every little aspect of my life, I mean, I just faith just grows and grows. You helped me yesterday in all those things, God. I mean, I don't know why you've been so good to me, but you helped me. I know you're going to help me in these today, you know, and just I believe you will. And I believe he will help you in all the things that you do as you give thanksgiving to him. So it's really a necessity there. And I don't think that is only personally, you know, but I think it is also for our nation. And I do hope that over this past week that our nation has really expressed a tremendous thanksgiving to Almighty God, and that we will see the results of that now as the days ahead. So I believe it is a personal thing that we can have that person, and we can have it as a nation, and we can have it as a church. And this church here, as I've said many times, we are thankful people. You people have demonstrated your thanksgiving, and that's what makes our church really what it is, part of what it is. Many things that makes up our church to be as wonderful a church as it is, but that's one of the great things, because we have good, thankful people who are praying, who are talking to God and giving thanks for the things he's good doing for us and so forth. But here's a question. Do you think that maybe that maturing Christians get so accustomed to the rich blessings of God that we maybe are tempted to, and maybe in danger of forgetting to forget to be thankful for them? You know, think about a world traveler, and he travels everywhere. He's seen everything. He's seen the seven wonders of the world. And so now as he travels, he's become so accustomed to all those scenes and so forth that he just doesn't pay much attention to them. And I'm afraid that we find that in our people, in the churches, and in people's lives. Someone said, you know, that if the stars only came out one night a year, we would all stay up all night and look at them. But we have become so accustomed of the stars being up there. How many of you looked at out last night and looked up at them? Okay, that's more than I thought would have. But we've become so accustomed to them that we just take it for granted they're there. And I think that happens a lot of times in people's, in their Thanksgiving life. We just see the things that God has blessed us with, and they're taken for granted, and we just fail. And we need to recognize and continue to be more thankful. I'm afraid that many Christians have grown accustomed to the blessings of God, and they fail to give thanks. In Numbers chapter 11, the book of Numbers, we have the Israelites, and they complained to God. God blessed them. God went down in Egypt with Moses and led them out of slavery, started through the promised land, toward the promised land, coming through the wilderness. God blessed them. Yet they complained. They complained. God accomplished all that he did for them, and he blessed them, and the people and the nation, and he miraculously fed them from heaven, and they complained, and their thanksgiving for it dried up, really. And they said, you know, that there's nothing at all, you know, just this manna. And they were getting tired of that. And they were experiencing a miracle from God, but they complained about it. They complained about it. Miracle from God, and they complained about it. Every morning, God give out food for them for the day, and they complained about it. They were no longer excited about, they just said, nothing but manna. Nothing but manna. I read about this cowboy down in Texas, and he had a brand new 150 Ford pickup truck, and he was going down the road this day, and as a gravelly, dirty road, dirt road, and his dog was in the back of the truck, and he was sniffing air happily, and hooked onto the back of the truck was his trailer with his favorite riding horse in it, and he come up on a bend there, and he wrecked, turned the thing all over. It wasn't long, a state trooper come along, and he recognized it, and he stopped the wreck there, and he got out, and he saw the horse there in a bad way, and he was kind of an animal lover, and he hated to see the horse suffering like that, and he just took out his pistol and shot the horse to get him out of his misery. He looks around, and he sees the dog then. The dog's laying there whimpering and carrying on. He just couldn't stand it. He just took him out of his misery and looked around to see the cowboy and where he was at, and he was over there in the weeds there, and he looked over, and he said, "Are you all right?" And the cowboy looked back at the state trooper, and he saw the smoke in his gun, and he said, "Never felt better." You know. Hey, that's the attitude, isn't it? Boy, no complaint from him. No complaint from him. Mark Twain said, "Don't complain and talk about all your difficulties, problems." He said, 80% of the people don't care anyhow. And the other 20% will think you deserve it. Yeah. So yeah, don't be complaining about those things. Be thankful for those things. The Israelites, listen to what happened here. And this is what the cowboy feared. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." God's not happy with people that are not thankful. People who complain. "And it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them." Go on and read this, the scripture. Do it some other time. Don't do it now. And you'll find out that the fire lit in the midst of the camp and consumed some people. Well, go on down there. And the people cried. Well, it says, and the fire, the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. Oh, now hey, you got to get somebody to intercede here. What's going on? And so they cried to Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. But what the moral of that is, what, you know, I mean, complaining, we're going to get suffer for that. Unthankful people suffer many things that you people are not experienced with and do not and have not experienced. So the evidence here to the Israelites, they're complaining to God when God had been so good to them, delivered them, and miracles had happened and so forth, that God just is not happy with that. Thanksgiving is a great power to bring joy and peace. And I believe when we're given Thanksgiving, you know, God is pleased with that. It's a sacrifice, kind of a sacrifice that God accepts and believes, and it pleases God. And those things that we want to do, we want to do those things that pleases God, don't we? God is so good to us, and we need to do that. God is looking for Christians who live in a realm of praise and thanksgiving. Those who, you know, that... those who are so thankful and so forth and give thanks, and the enemy no longer has a ability to hold on to them. When we're busy giving thanks to God for all the things we're doing, and when we're busy in our life and doing what God would have for us to do and so forth, then and we're so thankful, hey, Satan doesn't have too much chance to get in there. Idle people, Satan really has a real joy doing his work among people who are unthankful and who are not busy about what God has for him to do. And so let me ask you this. Are you thankful? I believe you are. Are you thankful for what's going on in your life? Or are you thankful for your family, your husband, your wife? Are you thankful for your job? Thankfulness is the key, I think, to of your life. We can see that, and you have experienced that thankfulness in your life. If our lives are a life of thankfulness, you know, it turns our situations around, helps our outlook and helps our attitude. And when our attitude and outlook is right, we're going to experience healthier lives and happier lives. And God wants us to do that. And there's power in a thankful heart. There's power in a thankful heart. Thanksgiving brings contentment. And I realize that things happen and things that we don't expect sometimes happen. I was reading about this woman, and her husband was in the missionary field, and her husband got killed. And so she came back to the States and settled down her life, and she looked at it, and one day when she was talking, and she said, well, you know, she was suffering difficulties and problems. You take here's a woman that's been for years with her husband over in a mission field, has come back now to the States and to pick up things, and she's faced difficulties and problems and so forth. But in it all, she said, you know, the more I love God, the more thankful I am to God, the more I love God, the more content I am. So here's a person who recognized even difficulties, problems, you can have great contentment through God. We should give thanks for the blessings God has given us instead of dwelling on the negative. We know some people who just their lives, they dwell on negative. I have a couple dear people in my life that just, I never could get them to really be on and up. It was always negative, everything. Just about everything I would say to him or her, negative. Couldn't happen. It won't be. It's not for me. People live that way. It's a terrible way to live. But we should give thanks to God instead of dwelling on a negative. I don't believe I ever lived at a time that I have heard more negativeness that has taken place today. I'm so glad for people like you who are so thankful and are all on the up. But it's sad, day in and day out, you run across people who are so negative and their lives are just meaningless and helplessly and hopelessly too. And so, yay, thank on the things. I read this, and you probably read this back too, some time back. This lady was 114 years old, and her name is Eunice Sanborn, and she lived in Texas, and in July the 20th, 2010, She was named the oldest lady in the world, 114 years old. And they were celebrating her birthday down at the church where she went there in Texas. And they were talking. And as they talked, she said, well, I guess they had questioned her. And she said, over my 114 years, I have always been content. Isn't that something? A lady who had lived 114 years, and you know that there's many things in her life that were difficult, and she could have been negative about it and so forth, but she said, never, ever. She was always content. What a way to live, 114 years old. The Apostle Paul said that he had learned contentment no matter what the circumstances was. And he was writing to Timothy in chapter 6, verse 6, and he was writing to Timothy. And when he was writing that to Timothy, you know where he was? He was sitting in prison. And he said, I've learned to be content in all the things, you know. Paul, when he's writing to the Thessalonians there a while ago, he didn't say, you know, be thankful for the circumstances of your life. He says, be thankful in the, you know. Paul wasn't thankful to be in jail, but he was thankful, you know, that he could go through that for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not thankful for those things, the difficulties come in my life, but I'm thankful for the one who helps me through those difficulties. So I'm content with what I have, knowing that he is working in my life. And so that's the way we need to be. The Apostle Paul was certainly that way. Some blessings in life are not easy, you know, but to be content and thankful, we learn how the future, we learn about the future for us. Look at the example of Jesus. Jesus, when he come to this earth, and he said, I come not to do my will. I come to do the Father's will. And through all the mistreatment that Jesus went through, all the rejection that he suffered, all the things that he was dealt with in his life there, he was very content. He did those things that he never complained. You do not read of a complaint of Jesus nowhere in the scriptures. He always was there, as Paul says, this is the Father's will in our life. And so he was doing that in his life. He considered all the things. And when he was here on earth, the disgusting, degrading things that people did to him. You could just visualize as you read about Jesus and his life as he went forth. It wasn't all a great thing. It wasn't all good. It wasn't, you know, here comes Jesus and they sing and celebrate to him. They mistreated him so terribly bad. Look at several. One time they caught him, was going to throw him over the cliff, kill him, you know. And you read many other places where they just mistreated Jesus so. But he didn't complain. He did that for you and me. He went that. He did that thing. Just for you and me. The Apostle Paul was writing to the book of Philippians. We find in 2:5-8, and it says, the Apostle Paul says that we should have the same attitude that Jesus. Jesus could go through life and suffer what he suffered. Paul says we should have the same attitude that Jesus had in himself. You know, Jesus didn't take upon him any reputation at all, you know. He just did the will of the Father. He took on the nature of a servant, really, the scripture says. And he humbled himself with thanksgiving. I read this story about the Duke of Wilmington, and he was a great British military man, and he was a great leader there, and he regretted, after his life was about over, he regretted that many things that he hadn't done. He regretted the fact that he had not learned to give praises that he ought to have in his life, and many accomplishments that won over to Napoleon at Waterloo, didn't he? And so great accomplishments in his life. And so he was asked, a lady asked him then later, he said, if you were to look at your life and so forth, and what would you do differently if you had to live your life all over again? And he thought for a while, and he said, I would give more praise and be more thankful. The great man that he was, and the great things that he accomplished, but during that time, he realized, then in his later years, he realized that he hadn't been as grateful as he had. And so he said, if I had to live my life over, I would give more praise and more thanksgiving. And I think that probably all of us think that, you know. I think of my life, and I think, you know, times that I could have been giving God more praise, times that I could have been more thankful for what God was doing for me. And so we try to do that and try, but there's times. And so we can kind of visualize a little bit of what this man felt like. Psalms 116:17, David said, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, and so we could call that a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And like I said, when we are thankful and we are paying thanksgiving to God, that's God is pleasing, and it makes the heart of God pleased, and it makes the heart of God happy. And I think that that's the way he wants us to be also. And so, my dear friend, if we would seek to have the attitude and gratitude of thanksgiving, we would experience a greater life of holiness. And when I use that word holiness, it's not, you know, holier than thou, but you know, it's not impossible to live holier lives. When we say that, that is more pleasing lives to God, a better lives for, toward our fellow man, and such that he talks about there. And so the lesson calls for us that we could learn to be the people of praise or thanksgiving all the days of our lives. We could make great accomplishments. Great things can come about as we recognize where they come from. All good and perfect gifts comes from Father God. If we're thankful for them, we're going to get more good and perfect gifts from God. You know, it's possible to live holier lives and by practicing an attitude of thanksgiving. That's true. You just look at people, and I look at you people, and I say, you're thankful people, and that's why you're living so good. That's why God is blessing you so good. And it's not hard to look around and see people that are not thankful, they're not getting, not receiving, not living, and not getting the blessings that you people are getting, not enjoying the things that you're enjoying, because they're not giving, they're not contributing to God as you people are, not contributing thanksgiving to Him. And so when you learn to be thankful, even in the difficulties of your life, you'll find that find the Lord Jesus turning your troubles into triumphs, you know. If you dwell on your troubles, you're going to have more troubles. If you're thankful for what God is doing for you and what He is doing with you, then He'll turn things around for you. There's a lot of people that I know that needs their difficulties turned around, that they need their troubles turned into triumphs. And the only person who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has sent Him for that purpose, and He'll do that for your life if you will look to Him. If you will be thankful to God for Him sending His Son, if you will receive Him and not reject Him, if you will praise the Lord for His goodness, you will see greater things happen there. So thanks and praise of God for everything in your life. Thank Him even for the difficult times. He can turn your troubles into triumphs through Jesus. Therefore, let us continually offer to God sacrifice and praise, the fruit of our lips to confess His name. Hebrews 11:15. Don't compare yourself with others, though. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't wish that your life was different. You see, God knows what is best for you. And I have to think that we are in the place that God wants us to be this right now. I believe that you're in the place that God wants you to be right here at 11:50 on this day. I really believe that. And if He knows and has you where He wants you to be, what in the world can He do with and for you if we're the thankful people that He would have us to be? Don't complain about anything. During the difficult times, be careful to watch your tongue. Instead of complaining, think of the ways that you can vastly be thankful to God, that you can variably offer thanks to God. You could have a thankful heart, and I hope that every heart in this place is a thankful heart. But it's not only to have a thankful heart, but to voice it, to let God know. And you know, it's a good thing to thank people for what they're doing for you too. And you know, when someone thanks you for what you've done, doesn't it kind of make your heart feel good? You have a good feeling about it, don't you? And so you just think, when you give thanksgiving to God for what he's done for you, can you think of the feeling that he has in his heart for you? He does. So our thanksgiving actually makes the heart of God smile. And our thanksgiving empowers our being, our heart, in the work and the goodness of God. God smiles when we practice thanksgiving to him continually. I hope you never had, but I have seen rebellious children never thank their parents for nothing, really. Try to get everything they can off their parents and such, and bad deal. But parents who has children, who's always giving them thanks for what they're doing. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Daddy, for taking me there and doing this and whatever and so forth. Doesn't make you feel good, doesn't it? And that's the way God does. When his children are thankful for what he has blessed them with, the good and perfect gifts that God has to give, it makes God's heart joyful. It makes God's heart joyful. God smiles when we praise him. Amazing things can happen when we offer praise of thanksgiving to God. When we give God enjoyment in our lives, he will fulfill joy in our lives. So this morning, how about you? I still believe that we probably have the greatest number of Thanksgiving people right here that I've ever been associated with. But then maybe you're here and you're not as thankful as you ought to have been. Maybe you want to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I thank you for sparing my life. I thank you for being my God. You might want to come and rededicate your life to the Lord. I don't know. Maybe you have never been thankful to God for sending his son to save you, and you haven't accepted him as your Savior, and you want to do that today. Whatever it is, you can make the heart of God rejoice. Not only that, your heart will rejoice as we stand and as we sing. Need to answer invitation hymn to him.
Tenderly Jesus is calling on you and for me. And watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling those who come.
As always, thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. It's really encouraging. I'm quite sure that you encourage one another by being here, as you encourage me. I'm always encouraged to see you good people with your bright smiles and looking so well, and God is blessing you. And I'm sure you had a great week this last week. But you know, I just pray that the Lord will bless you with a week this coming week, a week like you've never experienced, the joy and the peace and the happiness, because you're such a thankful people. Thank him for all the things he's done. And let us go in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these good people here. What an encouragement to Heavenly Father they are to one another and to me, Heavenly Father. I'm so thankful to have a good church family to be a part of. Thankful people, Heavenly Father, that are blessed because they recognize where the good and perfect gifts come from, and you're the giver of all those things. So, Heavenly Father, as we go this week, we ask that you, that through their lives and in their lives, Heavenly Father, you grant them good things, grant them safety. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be productive. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be good witness for Christ. Help us, Heavenly Father, to share the good things that you share with us, with other people that we come in contact with. Help us to, Heavenly Father, do those good things in your sight. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.